morning. It's great to see you all this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing, to reason among each other, and reason among ourselves from the scriptures, to encourage one another to keep the faith, to remind ourselves of commitments we've made, and that we are children of the Most High God, and that we do love one another. We love each other, the love of the Lord, and we're so thankful for that. So you don't miss out. It's Catherine, I love you. I missed you guys, just to let you know. It rained out. I didn't get to go racing. I had to work. Didn't get to go racing. But I missed you guys. I'm glad to be back up here, reasoning from God's scriptures and thinking about life's biggest mistakes. Biggest life mistakes is the title of our lesson this morning. And when I say that, boy, everybody's mind goes somewhere, doesn't it? Easton, Pierce Banks, come here, man. Come here, man. I'm going to use you, man. Come on up here, man. Come here. This is my grandson. See, nobody knows how to do this but me. Thanks, buddy. 5 years old. So he's got 5 years in his life. If he lives to be 82 and a quarter years old, he's going to make, and he makes one mistake a day, he'll make 30,000 mistakes. You'll be doing good if you do that, okay? Papa loves you. Go back down. Thanks. If he makes two mistakes, that's 60,000 mistakes in his life. If he makes three mistakes a day, that's 90,000 mistakes. 90,000. Four mistakes in a day. He's getting over 100,000, 120,000. I can keep going and going, you know. So four is 120. So he'd have to make probably a dozen before he gets to a million, okay, in his lifetime. But I guarantee you in our lives, folks, there's some times we've made 10 or more mistakes in a day. Or a dozen mistakes. And we continue to make them. We continue to be forgiven by the blood of Christ. But there's some monumental mistakes, folks, that we shouldn't make as children of the Most High God. And to help others recognize. You know? Obviously, I'm just talking about mistakes, not necessarily sin, because both can be two separate things. I can mistakenly forget to tell my wife how much I love her, and that's not a sin. I can tell her what to do when I think about her and what she ought to be doing, and borderline, it's going to be a sin. Okay? But just mistakes. Okay? I forgot to take trash out. I forgot to buy this. I forgot milk when I bought groceries. You know? I forgot to put air in a tire that keeps signaling and it's low. All kinds of mistakes, folks, in our lives. And sometimes people get so downtrodden with mistakes, even though they're not sins, that they get negative. And they don't get upbeat. Obviously, we're going to talk about them a little bit this morning from God's holy word, but our whole lesson this morning comes from John chapter 10. We've got 4 points, and each one comes from the section of passage that we're going to be reading. Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I will go in and out and find pasture. He will The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, originally, the passage, our lesson title was going to be Abundantly or Abounding. And it's got switched because I read the whole passage and started thinking about some things. Okay? How can you refuse somebody that's come that I may have life and more abundantly? Well, there's millions of people that refuse Jesus. Millions of people that refuse Jesus. But Jesus talks about the door and him being the door. And we look at our lesson this morning. Biggest life mistakes. I had to change it around. It was life's biggest mistakes. For some reason, I didn't want to say I had that, so I switched it around. So now I had to think about it again. So what kind of big mistake, life big mistake, do people make according to this passage? And this morning, look at that. Choosing the wrong door. How many of us in our lives have chosen the wrong door? You know, I thought about that, you know. What kind of doors do we choose in our own? How many of us have to still go to meetings and we got to open that door and go in there and we don't know whether it's going to be a good meeting or it's going to be a bad meeting? Okay? How many of us haven't been kind to our spouse and we come home and we open the door at home and we don't know whether it's going to be a good day or a bad day? Or kids, when you've done something wrong and you got to go home, or you got to go home and tell your mom and dad something you didn't want to have to tell them. I've repented of this, but I got kicked out of school once when I was in junior high. I got kicked out of school once when I was in high school. Both for fighting. And I had to come home and tell my dad I got kicked out of school. And I was terrified. He said, "That's all you got to tell me, son?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Okay." Started watching his TV. I thought that, you know, I was in for a bruising. Same way with God. When we come to Him and confess our sins with Him. Okay? And luckily we can do that through the door, which is Jesus. But people choose the wrong door. There's been times in my life when I went through a door where there's sin I shouldn't have been. Or temptation that I couldn't resist in my life. There's people that decide that the door to prosperity, to happiness in this world, doesn't come from Jesus, but it does. We look for the door of happiness and contentment in all kinds of things, whether it's money, or whether it's where we're going, or who we know, or what we've been, or what we're doing, or how we feel. We're looking for that door. And that door is always Jesus. The door to contentment is it through Jesus. The door through happiness is through Jesus. The door through success in life is through Jesus. When we lay our heads down at night and ask God, "Father, have I glorified your name? The things we've done that day should have been through Jesus." When you forgive someone when you've been hurt, it's through Jesus. You use the right door. Now, being into the kingdom of heaven and being a child of the Most High God, there's no other door to go through there but Jesus. And people try to get through there all other ways, on their own. "I'm just going to be a good guy. I'm going to quit saying bad things. I'm going to quit thinking bad things. I'm going to quit doing bad things." And guess what? God let mankind do that for a handful of thousands of years before he sent his son and said, "You can't do it. Here's all the laws that I want you to keep. Here's how you're created to be. Give it a try for a few thousand years." Man couldn't do it. God had to come down in flesh to say, "I love you so much. Here's how you're really supposed to do it. Here's the door." Even after being a Christian for over 30-some years, I still have to remind myself
to choose the right door. Mistakes people make in their lives, they choose the wrong door. They're always looking for something. We are, folks, we're created that way. We get up in the morning, what am I going to do? Okay?
There was a time in my life that my wife chose the wrong coffee every time she went to the store. I did not like the taste of that coffee, and I wanted Maxwell House French roast. I didn't want Folgers, and I didn't want any other roast. That's what I wanted for years and years and years and years. Now, my heart is softened. I accept other blends. And Brother DC, it has some of the most premium blends that I've tasted in a while. So, you know, I'm here, brother. You can share anytime you want.
But we look for things in our lives, special things in our lives. We look forward to things, folks. We look forward to those doors. You know, I look forward to going racing again. Being at that track, hearing them engines screaming, smelling that methanol, getting in the car, the emotional excitement on them. They are things in life, folks, and everybody does a different thing. Some people, it's on the golf course. Some, it's just sitting on the front porch. Some, it's slicing open ice cold watermelon. Or drinking iced tea, you know. I start talking about the southern roots. Things that just relax. Seeing the sunset, folks. I'm back in the moment. I'm driving to work in the morning, and I see God's beautiful hand on the sunrises every morning. Unbelievable. Nobody can do it but Him. He is the door to art and majesty and this beautiful earth. And we need to remind ourselves that He is the door for our hearts for doing the right thing. You know, the next passage of Scripture is from our lesson text. Thank you, Brother Adam. As Brother Adam stands up here, I've known Brother Adam for maybe going on 6 years. Hasn't been that long. But to see him up here reading God's holy word and leading my grandchildren in the way, the truth, and the life, he's chosen the right door. It's humbling and elating and uplifting and edifying. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling. He who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them, and the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father. Pertaining to our lesson, again, topic this morning, biggest life mistakes, we look at this passage, choosing the wrong shepherd. And that happens in our lives. There's only one good shepherd, folks, and that's Jesus. I can learn a lot of positive things in my life from my dad, my grandfather, my father-in-law, people I meet at work, strangers I meet. Driving down the road, reading a billboard, or reading another church sign. I can learn all kinds of good things, but they are not the right shepherd to guide my heart, to follow God Almighty. And that's where the difference between those of us that are children of the Most High God recognize that Jesus is the preeminence. Jesus is the good shepherd. Not the church. Not what I learned from mom and dad or grandpa and grandpa. Not what the best person I ever met, who's my neighbor, so to speak. I'm just using this as an example.
The best person I ever met is not my neighbor, just so you know. I love him, but not so. We choose all kinds of things to pattern ourselves after, to shepherd us, to shepherd our lives, to follow. How many kids want to follow after? Well, it's not now, and maybe soon, I don't know, if the new quarterback for the Colts ever hits the field again. You know? Some people's grandchildren have a desire to be shepherded by the University of Kentucky. You know? Some of it's Purdue. Some of it's IU. We want shepherd. We want to be associated with things. Won't be long. Colts are going to be playing again. And I don't know about the other sports, you know? I want to learn from these people and these things, which aren't bad in and of itself, folks. But when we talk about spiritual things and being successful in life, I want to be like such and such when I grow up. How many times have you ever said or heard somebody say, have you ever thought about being like Jesus when you grow up? Who was it talking to me this morning about? Brother Ed. Brother Ed was talking to me this morning about, you know, about time we started growing up. He's talking about when one of him and his buddies got their hair cut off and they had long hair. Brother Ed says, that's about the time I started to grow up. I cut my hair off. Well, I still haven't started to grow up yet. And I say that to say, I still need a shepherd. I still need someone to help me guide my paths. I still need Jesus in my life. Who do you want to grow up? Hopefully, folks, you utilize that. Who do you want to grow up to be? Someday I'm going to grow up to be just like Jesus. Well, some of us got a lot less years to try and have that transpire. But it's never too late to start. That's a great thing about the grace of God. Jesus taught us. Doesn't matter whether you decide to follow him today, tomorrow, or 2 days from now, or 2 years from now. When you start, make sure you're going through the right door. Make sure you're following the right shepherd. The wrong shepherd, folks, we talk about it, and when we open God's word and reason amongst ourselves, how can somebody believe something that is an error? Got the wrong shepherd. They put their faith in the doctrine and commandments of men more than they do the words of Jesus. And continuing in John chapter 10, therefore, there was a division again among the Jews. Imagine that. Because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Folks, this is a very important passage for us this morning because we're just like God. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe Son him should be saved. The whole world. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. We have neighbors, friends, strangers, family members, loved ones that we want to follow Jesus. We want them to go through the right door. We want them to have a good shepherd, the right shepherd, the only true shepherd. Jesus says,
Not everybody is going to be a sheep. Not everybody is going to listen to my voice. And that's heartbreaking in our lives. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's heartbreaking. It's just as heartbreaking for Jesus to have to tell the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "You are not of my sheep." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Jesus having to tell people that he loves them to death, but you're not listening to me? I told you and you do not believe. Folks, when we tell people about Jesus and how precious he is, and that he is the Christ and the Son of the living God, and we believe he did all the things that are written in this book, and people don't believe. Jesus went through the same thing. But he said, "Those that hear my voice and follow me will have eternal life." Be thankful that you hear his voice. Plead with others to listen to his voice. Biggest life mistakes: not listening to Jesus. I've been a Christian over 30 years and I still struggle with my life listening to Jesus. We also need to recognize some people don't want to hear Jesus and they don't want to listen to him. But even more importantly in our lives, folks, when we feel ourselves not wanting to read God's word, when we don't want to be corrected, when we don't want to listen to Jesus, fall on your knees. Ask God for forgiveness. Make your heart right. Because that's a hardened heart, folks. And we read in the Bible about what hardened hearts do to people. They fall away from following the true God. They start following themselves and their thoughts and their feelings, and they justify their sin in their lives. Not listening to Jesus. Have you listened to Jesus in the last week? Do you plan on listening to him this coming week? Last part of the passage this morning. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. Jesus is pleading with them. Pleading with their hearts and their eyes and their ears. And they still hated him. Didn't believe Jesus. They just didn't believe in Jesus. Not believing in Jesus. Life's biggest life mistakes: not believing in Jesus. When Jesus says you got to forgive everything, you better believe him. When he says you need to repent of your sins, you better believe him. When he says something is a sin, you better believe him. When he says it is written, you better believe him. Above all things. Because when you believe somebody else or something else other than Jesus, okay, you're looking at another shepherd. Remember, Jesus is a good shepherd. Are you convinced Jesus is a good shepherd? Are you convinced he's the door? Do you believe him? Folks, this morning, life's biggest mistakes: simple, one chapter of God's holy word, choosing the wrong door,
choosing the wrong shepherd, not listening to Jesus, not believing Jesus. Satan uses these little toolbox tools on us, even though we were Christians. But we need to recognize that and look for the door and look for the shepherd and listen to Jesus and believe his holy word. If you have not become a child of God, we invite you to do that this morning. There's something on your heart that you want to pray as a congregation of. We invite you to make that known and we'll pray with you. If there's anything in your heart you want to make right with God, you can do it personally by telling him he is the door, he is the shepherd. Listen to him and believe in him today. We invite you to come if you have a need as we stand and sing a selected hymn this morning.